This is 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Support for KKFI provided by the Carlson Center at Johnson County Community College, presenting a jazz winterlude with vocalist Ebony Fondren, Sunday, January 19th at 7 p.m. Backed by piano, bass, and drums, singing from the American Songbook and Jazz Standards. Sunday, January 19th at 7 p.m. in the Polsky Theater. Details at jccc.edu/Carlson Center.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
About it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are alone. Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you opened and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they the scenery, the makeup, the props, the audience that lifts you when you're down. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town. The opening when your heart beats like a drum. The closing when the customers don't come. Get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn. On top of that, your partner has parted. You're brokenhearted, but you go on. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are alone. Even with a turkey that you know will hold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still, you wouldn't change it.
Hello to all of you out there. Welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I am Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday here in the city. Celebrations going on all along as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. It is the first show of 2020. So as we ran the year down, there was no shows opening, so we did a lot of book authors. Glad for all those people who came and talked about their books. Glad to have them, but shows are beginning again. We have with us two of the members of Kansas City Actors Theater, the two characters in the play, I believe. And as I understand it, the only two characters in the play. They're doing Night Mother. A mother-daughter thing. They will talk about that. And they will talk about that as time goes by. Jen Rogge is with us. She is an actor-director, among other things, has played at a lot of places. See, I always found this interesting. She was an actor-director, and she directed a show that Cinnamon was in. Mm-hmm. Then I guess Cinnamon directed first.
She directed a show. I was in a show that she directed.
Yep.
So, yeah. Very entangled.
Yes, we are.
That's right. Obviously, they get along. We'll see when you watch the show. But Jan is here. She has appeared at Actors Theater, at the Unicorn, many others as well.
Yeah.
And welcome back again. She's one of the owners of the Green Bay Packers. But If we have time, we'll go into that later. It works a little differently there than it does other places. Cinnamon Schultz is with us again. Always nice to have her. She
Thank
is
you.
Also an actor-director, and she has appeared many times at Actors Theater. Mm-hmm. Unicorn. I was trying to think of some others.
The Coterie.
The Coterie.
Yeah. The New Theater.
Rep.
Yeah, Rep.
Yeah.
So,
well, glad to have both of you here with
Thank
us
you.
Once again. Two-person shows are, you know, the only thing more difficult would be a one-person show, you know, a
yes.
monologue show. But it's only the two of you, so you have mm-hmm. to establish a rapport. And this is a show about challenges, let's say, between a mother and a daughter. Mm-hmm. Jen plays the role of the mother. Her name is Thelma. And Cinnamon plays the role of the daughter. Her name is Jessie. I found this interesting. The audience probably won't. I looked at the original Broadway cast, and Kathy Bates played the younger role.
That's correct.
I wasn't familiar with the actress who played the older lady
role.
I don't
know who either.
Kathy Bates would be old enough to play the mother's role. I would
absolutely
think
correct.
Kathy would hit me over the head from behind if I said that. But
she is.
But I guess there's flexibility there in those roles.
Sure. I mean, depending on the age of either one, as long as you kind of have, just so that they can appear as mother and daughter, that's what matters.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the mother has some health issues. She's
correct.
A little slower. So... But actually, truly, in the script, we won't see the age, but she's exactly my age
really?
In the script. So it really depends how you go about it. And you know, she's got bad hips and all that stuff and arthritis. She lives in the country and,
yep.
you know, she's a little bit more aged than sometimes that we, you know, age is so different right now.
Oh,
you know?
Sure.
And this was, what, 1983 play? It
yes.
wasn't that long ago, but still.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's the more I work on it, the more beautiful I think the play is. I think it's a true poetry of a relationship that gets to unfold for 90 minutes, and it's like a snowball, and it gets more intense. There's a beauty behind it, but an intensity. Someone said it's like an Edward Hopper painting. It's simple, but extremely moving, and you can't keep your eyes off it.
Yeah.
There's something very dramatic and poignant about it. And, you know, there's some heavy themes in it, but it just comes down to two people, a mother and daughter and family, and everybody can relate to this. We get people that have been watching the process when they come for the first time, and they come up to Cinnamon and I, and they express what's happened to them in their lives and... Mm. how it affected them, and it's a moving show, and it's entertaining where it catches you, whether it just catches you and it holds you. So no one's going to be sleeping in that theater.
Keep them on the edge of your seats. What has happened? Can we talk about at this point what has happened that brings her to be living with her mother at
sure.
this age?
Sure. A lot. It mainly happens because she and her husband, well, her husband left her and they're divorced, and her son is an extremely troubled young man. And so instead of living by herself, her mother offers to take her in, and she says, sure. And so they've been living together for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
And she decides that, Jessie decides she's had enough.
Mm. Because there are conflicts between the two. I don't want to get into too much here,
okay.
but there are natural conflicts, I guess, between parent and,
well,
and children.
It's interesting. She's a, I call it kind of, she's kind of loud and just does what she wants to. And her daughter takes care of her and is quiet. Doesn't say much, so she doesn't really bully her around, but she just thinks it's all fine because the daughter never brings up any issues similar to the father.
Mm.
And it's not until she announces what she wants to do and what she wants to do with her life that things kind of come to a halt, and
The mother actually turns and actually looks at her, I think for the first time, mm-hmm. for all, if ever, yeah. of who this person really, really is. And what she thought she knew, she did not know.
Yeah.
So it all gets turned around.
Well, and that's one thing that our wonderful director, Sid Garrett, told us, and it's true, that most families, when you live together for so long, you really don't take time to look at each other, mm-hmm. just because you're there. Even when you're talking to each other, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're focused on each other. So that's one of the things that happens in this show right at the beginning, is Jesse says what she's planning on doing, and suddenly, like Jan said, everything halts, and they finally start communicating like they never have in their lives.
They start, one will kind of tell the truth. The mother likes to fib and give stories, and she doesn't, the truth, you don't have to talk about things that are true all the time. I mean,
that's
what,
yeah.
Yeah, truth doesn't really, it's just, you know, it's just saying stuff and having a good time. And they're catching each other because they start telling the truth little by little.
Yes.
And they're like, Mom, that's not true. Okay, what did you really feel about your daddy? And mm-hmm. then she asks, why did her husband really live, you know, leave her?
Just things they've never really talked about, ever. But they're big issues, like you just said, major relationships between husbands and wives, sons, mm-hmm. just lots of different things.
It seems to be generational to me, as I observe people going through life, and we all do that. Mm-hmm. The older ladies tend to sometimes even brag about how they've persevered despite everything that's happened.
That's right.
The younger ladies, not so much.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No. Yeah. That depression thing, right?
Oh, yeah. It says, I survived that.
I survived.
That's right.
Yeah. She says a few things that I think a lot of mothers, parents get. You're just a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
You're feeling sorry for yourself. Oh, yeah. You think you just want to have a good time, you know. Mm. Who ever promised you a good time?
Well, and then this play was written before people even really talked about depression suffering as openly as they talk about it now. And I wish they would talk about it even more, because it needs to be talked about.
Certainly.
So.
Certainly. What era was this place
1983.
Set in? 1983.
But it's kind of nebulous where we set it. We just wanted it to be kind of, it could be anywhere and any time. Which, with costuming by Mary Traylor and the way Sid directed it and the set mm-hmm. and everything, it could be.
Anywhere.
It could be right now, but it could be back in 83. So.
I know some daughters and mothers who are just joined at the hip.
Sure.
If you know what I mean. And then I know others, it's always kind of a tenuous relationship. Now, mm-hmm. they talk, but it's a tenuous relationship.
Sure.
Others, as I said, I can't think of a better term, are just joined at the hip, practically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess it depends on a lot of things. You know?
Sure. Like,
well, I guess maybe how the relationship between mother and the father of the girl went along, I suppose.
Yeah, that gets revealed.
Sure.
We get to know how lonely Jessie is, the daughter, and she didn't realize how lonely she was. And I think the daughter gets to realize how lonely the mother was mm-hmm. during her marriage with her husband. He was a man of few words, and so right off the bat, you know, we start the play off with the mother just like, Mama, where's that snowball? And, you know, she just starts talking right away, and she doesn't like quiet.
Oh, really?
She likes the TV on at all times. She likes to be talking. She likes to be futzing. She likes to be, and we have complete opposite over here.
Jessie likes nothing but quiet. Well, and it also stems from the fact that she suffers from seizures. And so,
you don't want to get too excited.
Yeah. She's worried. Most of her life, she's been worried about getting too excited because it could start a seizure. And she wasn't on medication until fairly later in her life, let alone the medication wasn't quite right until fairly recently. So it's kind of like she's been walking on eggshells her whole life.
play was a big hit on Broadway and turned into a movie starring Sissy Spacek. Mm-hmm. And I said this to both of you earlier. On the Broadway version, the daughter was played by Kathy Bates. Mm-hmm. So the mother was much older. Had to have been. I mean, not trying to age Miss Bates. But when the movie came along, apparently Sissy Spacek saw one of the performances on Broadway and wanted to do the daughter. Mm-hmm. And she being, of course, much younger even than Kathy Bates.
I didn't see the movie.
I did it when I was young.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because I'm really young.
I mean, I think
she is practically a child.
I truly think it's one. There's, you know, some plays can do well with movies, and some, I think this is really, the play is the thing.
Yeah.
That's where the power comes from. That's why I didn't have any interest in seeing it. I don't think it added anything to what we were going to do. I'd love to see Kathy Bates. I'd love to see that production.
Well, and Anne Bancroft played the mother in the film. Right. And it was good. It was really good. But like you said, Jan, there's something about seeing it live where you can't pause. You can't look away. Because that's what they're dealing with right now, is a specific time limit.
Yeah.
Because it happens in real time on stage. In fact, there will be a working clock.
Yeah, working clock.
And on stage that will tell the real time. Yeah.
So people see limit. It. It's real time. Kind of like that new film that's out, 1917?
Oh, sure.
That's in real time. And I think there's something very visceral, very exciting. It is a very exciting play.
Yes.
Make no mistake, we are not just sitting there on a sofa just talking, and this is...
there's a lot of action, actually.
So it's essentially an hour and a half in the lives of these two ladies and what they talk about and what they deal with. As all goes by. Shows open in previews this Wednesday the 8th at 7:30 p.m. Previews are on the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. Then on Saturday the 11th, it opens for real. But of course, well, I shouldn't say for real, but it then opens for a regular show. So in the first three previews, there probably won't be much difference. You might be retuning a few things.
We still get notes afterwards. That's really the only difference. But if it's an audience... It is a performance.
Correct.
I mean, we give it 100%. And
yes.
I think that's what Cinnamon and I do. We did two shows yesterday, so I sound a little... it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of talking, so so I just sound a little tired. But other than this, it will always be one show.
And here they sent you over here to talk.
Yeah, I know.
But this is the way it goes sometimes. So from the reaction, just from your rehearsal performances, what have the people who watched said to you about it? Do they think this is a normal relationship? And I'm going to guess it probably is fairly normal for things.
I just think somebody always says they knew somebody like either the father or
it's just anybody, relationships. I mean, even though there are two of us, we refer to many other family
members.
So it's like you get to know these other characters.
The audience
as well.
Has to keep track with all the names. Marcia just shoves it all out through the playwright, shoves it all out through the beginning, which is really interesting. And people are like, what? Who are these people? And it starts unfolding. Mm-hmm. And so that's, it gets even deeper how you get to know these people.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, and Marcia also, the playwright, does an amazing job of realistic dialogue.
Very realistic, yeah. She does a great job.
But people walk away with many different reactions, emotional or just it hits them very, very hard.
Yeah.
Do we know much, if anything, about what motivated her to write this?
Things
that are so personal with only those two characters.
I don't know. Louisville, Kentucky, right, that she's from. Mm-hmm. So she had that wonderful playground of the theater festival to play with and to kind of work with. I think it actually premiered at American Repertory Theater. I don't know what got her to do that. She won the Pulitzer Prize. It was up for a Tony. After that show, she did a few other things, Color Purple, A Secret Garden, Getting Out, Yes. That was big when I went to college because, you know, it was a character of two women in prison.
It was prison, awesome. Right?
Yeah, I think. We did scenes from it, and yeah, it was really raw and kind of, you know, Sam Shepard-y, which always the men get to take part in, but Marsha Norman kind of had that. And in fact, there was a lot going on, I think, in the 80s with women playwrights.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, it opens in previews, as I said, on Wednesday. Opens for the real run on Saturday the 11th at 7:30. Runs for then, is it 3 weekends after that?
Yeah, we run from basically the 8th through the 26th.
Yeah, so you need to check on that. You can do that by calling or going to their website, kcactors.org, or the number you can call, which looks very familiar, like it might be the Central Ticket Office.
It is.
816-235-6222. The performances are at the City Center stage at Union Station, which has been the home for Actors Theater for some time now.
Yeah, can I just say, too, always check the website. We always start at 7:30 in evenings and 2 o'clock for matinee, because theaters are all different even on the weekends, but we're always 7:30, and check, because we do add a Monday night for industry night.
Mm-hmm. That
and that's important
the
20th. For, yeah, correct. And usually Monday nobody ever does a show, but we do it, so just know that's open to the public, so they can come on a Monday night too,
so you can get the criticism or the praise of your fellow
either
actors.
One is fine.
Either one is fine.
But it's important to open it up to our fellow colleagues when, if they're doing a show or in rehearsal.
Yes.
They can come. No. And they have no excuse not when to come.
And you know most of those people.
Yeah, we're a big family, so.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Well, the show's about to open in previews, at least on Wednesday. Anything... Not to be too personal, but what, are you refining any particular things still at this point?
Yes. I never stop trying to work on this. And I think for both Jan and I, these characters are so different from us, so very personally different from us in the way we normally carry ourselves. And not that stretching as an actor is bad, but you want to give it justice, and you don't want to seem, you want to seem as real as possible.
Yeah.
And so...
So this is the final show of season 15?
We do have a special show.
Oh, okay. A bonus fifth show.
Bonus fifth show. Okay.
That is coming up in March. It's called St. Nicholas. It is a one-person show with Victor Rader Wexler.
Oh, well, he would be good.
He's a star.
Yes, he is our star. And it will be performed at the Buffalo Room from March 11th through March 29th. And that will be officially our final.
Yeah,
and who was the playwright?
I don't remember.
Oh, it's the Irish playwright. McDonough?
I don't
McDonough?
Remember.
Martin McDonough? Oh, gosh.
You keep saying that, Jan. I'll say yeah.
I'm killing it. But it's a really haunting,
And it's a good one.
And that's a role that seemingly would be made for Victor.
I think it'll be quite amazing. Dennis Hennessy will be directing.
Oh, yeah, Dennis Hennessy will be directing.
Yes. Well, that's an important thing.
The team will be back.
If you don't know, Dennis is one of the owners and producers of the new theater.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And not too often, at least for years anyway, they didn't direct outside the purview of their own theater, but they have with you folks.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've been very lucky.
Really great relationship. Mm-hmm. He's been able to play in our sandbox.
Well, that would close then season 15. Do you have you determined any plans for when you will open season 16? And it hardly seems like it's been that long.
I know, it's crazy. We're going to start with The Cake, which is a really, it's a more of a comedy. So that'll be a nice change.
But with good issues.
About in May?
Yes.
Yeah. About a baker whose good friend's daughter comes to her and asks to bake a cake for her wedding, and she realizes she's a lesbian. And so she has to look deep inside her religious beliefs and what she believes, and her and her husband, and it's her journey.
Is that a very old play? Because
no,
it's certainly
really
is contemporary.
It is.
Yeah. No, it's contemporary, and a lot of theaters are doing it around the country because it taps, and it's a and it's entertaining, and it says a lot, and you go through this woman's journey, how she gets to where she gets at the end.
Yeah.
Well, believe some of those cases are probably still active in the court system.
That's, correct.
Absolutely.
That's how contemporary it is.
Yeah, very, very, mm-hmm. very. Yes.
Yeah.
And after that,
Jesus hopped an A-train. So, with the cake, Missy Koontz will be directing.
Yes, Missy and Koontz will be directing the cake.
Jesus hopped an A-train. Brian Paulette will be directing. And then we have three other shows after that as well.
The Dresser.
Correct. And then Betrayal.
Betrayal. Cinnamon will be directing Betrayal at this time slot.
Yes, next year. So,
now, do you prefer, and this is for both of you, directing, performing? Well, sometimes when people get that directing bite, they want to do it more.
She's been directing a lot. She's been directing every season.
I do.
The last.
Yeah, I'm not directing this season since I'm acting in it. But I love directing. But I also love acting. So I will not pick a favorite.
What about Jan?
I've only directed once, so I can't say that was a play of passion of mine, and I'm glad it worked out.
Yes.
It was just one of those going. I'm so glad. I think it was just a great fit mm-hmm. with the actors and me being a part of that. But no, I'm it's fun to produce, to be in the producer seat a little bit. But if something comes along, but. To direct, but it has to be something really special.
Yeah. People. And our final show next season will be The Christians.
Oh, that's right. That's our fifth show.
Yeah. And it'll be performed in a church.
So we're going to see five shows from Actors mm-hmm. Theater.
At the theater right down the street at St. Paul's.
Okay. Yeah.
So that'll be a really, interesting play. Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
We've got a good season, Cinnamon.
I know.
Well, it's good you're excited.
Yay.
If you weren't excited, I would wonder about you. Night Mother, or I should say it the way it's wanted to be said, Night Mother is opening in previews on Wednesday the 8th. You can attend those. And you you can ask them if you call or go online. The official run opens on Saturday the 11th, runs through Sunday the 26th. Mm-hmm. The matinees, there's only two, I believe. I guess there's three. At 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays at the City Center Stage at Union Station. We had Theater for Young America on recently. They're there during the day. It transforms to Actors Theater at night, and you can see it by going.
They're done now in January. That's why we have the slot.
Ah.
So they're not anywhere near there. Because the set's up, and it is a real, it's a real realistic set inside a house, so they'd have a hard time doing a performance on it.
Go online. They might make use of it, though. But problems. KCActors.org or the Central Ticket Office number. And the Central Ticket Office, as people have told me, they handle several of the theaters mm-hmm. in the area. So specifically ask for Actors Theater when you say you want tickets to there. 816-235-6222 or, as I say, online at kcactors.org. Ticketing through the internet has become very popular mm-hmm. and very successful in the last few years. It has helped that, as well as the internet, as far as publicity for shows.
Can still call CTO, one of the few theaters that actually you can call and talk to a person.
Yeah.
I know that's very important to a lot of people.
It is. It still is. It is. They don't want to.
And I only have a minute left on my clock, but Jan, in Green Bay, they have a different setup. Now, you buy a membership in the organization, and so you're able then to call yourself an owner of the team?
Yes, and you get a certificate, which is really cool, but it's an 8x17 or something. So I got my husband a special Packer frame that has gold coins. I don't know what that represents. And it has his name. It's a placard. And it looks glorious.
So look at you, owner.
Putting it in our hallway.
You're hoping, of course, for another Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl.
Oh, wouldn't that be exciting?
And I say another because the very first Super Bowl, of course, was the Packers mm-hmm. and the Chiefs many years ago. And that's all you'll hear about.
And the press would go crazy.
Oh, of course they would.
Two Midwest cities, which they usually don't, right?
True.
But I think for that game, Chiefs and the Packers.
All right. Yeah. Ask her about that after the show. But not at the talkbacks. You'll want to ask them questions about the show.
That's right.
Show opens in previews on Wednesday the 8th for the regular run on Saturday the 11th. Once again, the Central Ticket Office number to call, 816-235-6222, or online at kcactors.org. Want to thank my guests for coming and telling us about this mother-daughter family expose,
let's say, about
themselves and all that's going on. Jan Rogge, who plays the role of Thelma, and Cinnamon Schultz, who plays the role of Jesse, in the Kansas City Actors Theater production of Night Mother, opening in previews this Wednesday, the regular run on Saturday the 11th at the City Center Stage at Union Station. Thanks so much
for coming by.
We're going to take a brief break. Then when we return, we have much more to talk about. Yes, the theater, the holidays are over. The theater shows are beginning once again. And we'll be talking about all of that when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. As we begin the new year, it's time to take a look back at the best movies of 2019. Here's my countdown of the cream of this year's cinematic crop. At number 10, The Farewell. Awkwafina stars in a sweetly sentimental comic drama about an American woman who travels to China to visit her terminally ill grandmother. At number 9, The Two Popes. Jonathan Pryce and Anthony Hopkins give splendid performances as Pope Francis and Pope Benedict, who confront one another with their opposing philosophies. At number 8, The Irishman. Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, and Joe Pesci deliver the goods in Martin Scorsese's epic and violent gangster flick. At number 7, Us. Lupita Nyong'o gives a stunning dual performance in Jordan Peele's original horror thriller. Prepare to be creeped out and intrigued at the same time. And number 6, Apollo 11. This impressive documentary about the 1969 moon mission consists entirely of footage never before seen by the public. At number 5, Parasite. Korean filmmaker Bong Joon-ho's comic drama works as a full-blooded thriller and a potent social commentary. At number 4, Toy Story 4 is a brilliantly conceived and executed animated story that works as a comedy, as an action-adventure, and as an emotionally satisfying conclusion to the series. At number 3, Little Women. The old chestnut is given a modern feminist sensibility while maintaining the appealingly traditional feel of Louisa May Alcott's beloved writings. At number 2, Marriage Story. Noah Baumbach's involving and sensitive look at divorce boasts fine performances from Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver. And at number 1, the best film of the year, 1917, a stunning World War I drama that unfolds in a single shot. 1917 is the year's best film and officially opens in Kansas City on January 10th. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM. Freeze Frame!
Hi, this is Mark Manning. For local and new releases in a mix of all genre, for interviews with artists, musicians, and writers, for freeform radio that plays with themes, questions, and events, tune in to Wednesday Midday Medley, Wednesdays from 10 to noon, right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, producer, host of ArtSpeak Radio, inviting you to tune in every Wednesday, noon to 1 p.m. for ArtSpeak Radio. We serve up information about the visual and literary arts community, including live interviews with artists, writers, performers, musicians, art organizations, plus art supporters. That's ArtSpeak Radio every Wednesday, noon to 1 p.m., only on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Are you a jazz lover, or maybe you don't know where to start? Either way, KKFI is your home for a curated introduction and a deep dive into the best classic and modern jazz. Tune in every weekday, 1 to 3 p.m. for Jazz Afternoon, hosted by knowledgeable and active members of the jazz community. That's Jazz Afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. on 90.1 FM and KKFI.org.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station. right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. We're going to journey on east out to City Theater of Independence. And those of you who caught the first part of the show, the second part of the show last week, we had by long distance call to California. And I don't know why we even bothered to say long distance. It's a phone call. It's a phone call. We had Paul Elliott on, the playwright, and he was talking about a seminar he's going to be doing on Saturday. And he is the author of, the playwright, I should say, of Exit Laughing, the show that the representatives from Independence are here to talk about here with me this afternoon. Mark Hamilton, the director, is with us. Have I seen your work before?
I've talked to you a couple of times. I directed Triangle Factory Fire.
Oh, that's right. That was in
years
Lee Summit,
ago, and mm-hmm. Moon Over Buffalo, and yeah. It's
Moon Over Buffalo. Yeah, a show about doing a show. Always interesting. Emily Davenport is with us as well. She plays the role of Connie.
I do.
Nice to have you here with us.
Thank you.
Colin Say Shelby?
Selby, yes.
Selby?
Yes.
Am I pronouncing the first part right?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
all part of Exit Laughing. And before I chuckle a little, people would think, oh, what a maudlin subject. But as Paul pointed out in the interview last week, there is a very, well, there's a serious side. He said there's also a very comedic side as well.
Well, absolutely. Actually, the way that City Theater of Independence does it is they announce a season and then they put a call out for directors. And so when I looked at this show, I had actually never read it before. So I got a hold of a script and I was about 20 pages into it and I said, I have to do this. And just very, very briefly, it's about these four Southern ladies who have been playing bridge together for 30 years, and at the top of our show, the three of them are coming back from the funeral home. One of the ladies has passed away, and they've been helping with the arrangements, etc., and so it just happens to be their bridge night. So they have a bridge night in memory of Miss Mary. And the lovely thing about this show that I love about Paul's writing is it's that old thing of when you've lost someone dear to you, you don't know whether one minute you're laughing and the next minute you're crying because you remember them fondly and then at the same time you are sad they're gone but happy they had a life well lived. And that's this show walks that line so beautifully.
Well, it gives them a chance to have maybe one last game with them.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and relive memories. And I would suppose that you ladies probably do a lot of talking about her and all that happened. And tell me about some of that. How? What do the ladies talk about?
About everything. We talk about what we have gone through in the 30-plus years that we have been friends. We talk about my child, who is... she is fun. We'll say that.
Animated.
Animated. That's a perfect word for Rachel. And just as old friends would, sit around and talk and see what comes up and very much remember our friend.
And I guess it wouldn't technically be a spoiler to say that one of our characters, Miss Millie, has decided that the lady that passed away should not spend her last night at the funeral home. She should be at the bridge game. So she has stolen the urn full of ashes from the funeral home and brought it to the bridge game, much to the shock and amazement of her two friends.
Exactly.
But then hilarity ensues after that.
Oh, sure. So they've played bridge together for mm-hmm. how many years?
Well, we talk about the fact that we've been together for so long, and they discuss it, and it's been over 30 years.
Wow.
And so, of course, during that time period, you have every aspect of life that happens amongst friends, you know, good times and bad times and hardships and dreams and everything in between. So lots of things get discussed and reminisced about during that time.
Oh, sure. It sounds like an interesting subject matter. Yeah. What do you do as director? You kind of guide them into making it perhaps as interesting as you possibly can? What was your thinking You said you felt like you had to do this.
Well, it's such a clever script, and it's always... the way I explain directing to my cast is, think of me as your audience, and I'm going to make it as appealing and interesting as I can. I do a lot of... Somebody asked me what directing is. I think it's homework. I do a lot of homework. I mean, I read the script and read the script and read the script again. I got some very good advice from actually Dennis Hennessy years ago, who told me, he said, read it, comprehend all the staging that's written in the script, and then he said, read it again and make it your own as far as blocking, because, you know, every set is different, everything is different, and so you want to tell the story visually as well as through the script. And so I try to guide the ladies, and I told them everything I gave them blocking wise was framework, and then they build on that.
Yeah, we filled in the rest. Yeah.
They fill in. Yeah. And these two have done a fantastic job of it.
It sounds sweet in a way, you know, that they would do this for their friend.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Emily, who plays the role of Connie. Tell us about Connie, and perhaps simulate the last 30 years or so. And tell us a little bit about her as an individual.
Connie has seen a lot. She has been married and divorced and playing a single mom, and she's kind of the straight and narrow. She likes things as she likes them. She likes to be on a schedule, and she likes things to go as planned. And when they don't go as planned, it really gets under her skin. And I have friends who really get under my skin.
present yeah. company. And
oh, no, it's
present company included.
That's
I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And so that's... She often sees a lot of within the script ways to try to kind of pull the ladies back together. It's like, whoa, you're going off where you're not, you don't need to go. Come on back. And that's really what I loved about her. That's really me.
Oh. Don't know if you want to reveal that.
No, she's the referee.
It's okay. My husband just laughs at me because, yeah, I am a schedule girl. I mean, I have everybody's schedule, and everything goes as such. And I do go off the rails when something goes different. And so I really, when I read the script, I very much related to Connie and couldn't wait to bring her to life. And it's just, it's really neat. And being surrounded by the cast and crew that I am it's phenomenal.
Well, that probably just... If I can use the term, eggs you on.
Absolutely.
Playing off of people is very important.
It is.
Makes it realistic.
And it was just almost magic. Our first reading, I had never met most of my counterparts, and we just clicked at the first reading. It was so funny because, you know, you don't know how... think of me? But it was instantaneous, the chemistry between this cast.
Sure. Okay, Colin, say, tell me about Leona.
Leona. Leona is a complex woman. I think that when audiences see Leona, they'll identify with her on multiple levels. She is somebody who likes to have a good time, but at the same time, she's not just that one note, if that makes sense, you know. She's so... in love with her girls. She's so in love with her friends. She has a beauty salon. She's a hairdresser. I'd like to point out, she's not just a hairdresser. She owns the salon. She's an entrepreneur. She loves these ladies, and she would do anything for them. And I think you see that throughout the whole show, that love and that compassion. And it's just completely something that, like Emily was saying, that honed in from the very beginning for us as actors. And that's a testament to Mark and Joe, our assistant director. Mm-hmm. When they had the auditions, they were able to kind of meld and put us in the right positions in the right spot. And Leona is able to come to life that way.
She does enjoy her adult beverages, which is something that I had to actually research a little bit more. I'm not somebody who tipples a great deal. So, you know, there were some interesting YouTube videos on my browsers. How do I make that drink and so forth? But she just loves life. She really does. And she loves her friends. And you see that through the show.
Now, she's not seen, but she's much talked about. But tell us a little bit about the deceased. How does she fit into this group?
She was really the glue. Mm-hmm. Where we all kind of spurred off and did our own things throughout these 30 years, Mary called us all back, mm-hmm. and in essence called us home so that we could continue to be the group and this little quartet that we are, and kept us solid.
Yeah, agreed. I think she's that friend that can poke fun at you and tease you and rile you up, but at the same time it's said with love and compassion. And if you don't have a friend like that, then I'm sorry, because it's life is better for those kinds of friends. And that's what she was to this group. She was there for them. You could lean on her, but at the same time, she could also, you know, put you in your place. So it was good. Sure.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah.
One of the things we talked about in rehearsal was, even though Miss Mary is not there, she's simply represented by the urn that Miss Millie has stolen. We talked about the fact that she's very present
very
in
much
the script.
So.
Mm-hmm. And I just reminded everybody that when you talk about Mary, when you talk of Miss Mary, you're telling the audience who she was.
Yeah, that glimpse into who she is.
Yeah, yeah, and Emily hit the nail on the head. It's I think Miss Mary was the glue, and mm-hmm. now you've got these three ladies who are kind of coming apart. I mean, we figured that she's probably been gone a couple of days, you know, as those things. So they are all still wrestling with their own, how they feel about it. And
yeah.
And I think our journey is that they come back together knowing she's not there anymore, but they continue on, you know.
I suppose I should ask about the missing card player who's still among the living, but,
yes.
but not here today, Millie. What is Millie like? Is she the one who instigated this shenanigan?
In every sense of the word, yes, shenanigan. Millie is your quintessential good, starry-eyed person. You know, I think her glass is always full to the point of overflowing. And just sweet and kind. And that's a beautiful balance throughout the story, because other times some of us are not.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that quintessential good person.
Absolutely. She just portrays innocence mm. and beauty. And, yeah, she's just lovely.
Janet Shellman mm-hmm. is the actress's name, and yeah, she sees absolutely no problem with the fact that she's broken a pane of window. You know, she describes breaking the window at the funeral home and sneaking back in and grabbing the urn. She has no problem with that. She cannot understand why anybody would be upset about that, because it was her night to carpool, and she always picked up Miss Mary.
So she still picked her up.
And in her mind, it makes perfect sense.
Oh. And she has absolutely no problem with these ashes. You know, it's just Mary. To her, there is no difference. This is my best friend. This is Mary, not, ooh, that's Mary's ashes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's becoming more common these days. So. Mm-hmm. Cremated remains.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is. And as one who has done quite a few eulogies in my time, and it's always a sad thing. But I like to talk about the positive things about the person. And perhaps, if I can, reveal something about the person who the other people, and sometimes very good friends of theirs, don't know about them.
That's true.
Now, that's something I always strive to do. It's not a pleasant thing to do, but it's a necessary thing to do.
And I think definitely in this show, we through a series of conversations, we find out things about Miss Mary, the ladies find out things about Miss Mary that they didn't know.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, that's, and about each other.
That's the key, and about each other, sure. Show opens on Thursday the 9th at 7:30. The first week of City Theater, if I'm remembering correctly, is always Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Correct.
And the second weekend is Friday, Saturday, Sunday afternoon.
Sunday matinee. Correct. And this weekend we have... Mr. Elliott was coming into town on Friday. There is a meet and greet with him in Independence for anybody that might be interested, from 5 to 7 at the Top Hat Winery at 210 South Main Street in Independence, right on the courthouse square, they call it. Mm-hmm. And then he will be at our show Saturday night, and we're actually going to have, for those that are interested, we're going to have a talk back after the show.
Is that pressure on the director, knowing that the playwright is in town and will be watching your show?
You know, yes, absolutely. you absolutely want to do the best job you can. But I think this is where experience comes in, because I have worked with playwrights before. I did a show one time where I had the playwright in the show. And it was a wonderful experience, because, you know, he was very much... wanting to help and change if we needed and whatever. So the experience for me has always been good. So I just rely on that. And when we first discovered this was happening, I let the cast know as quickly as possible, because I knew it would put a little extra pressure on us. But I also wanted them to get comfortable with the idea and know that, hey, we're doing the best show. I want him to walk in and say, this is the best production I've ever seen.
That's the goal, right.
Sure.
I think he will be greatly impressed by our characterizations of these wonderful characters. You know, they're real people to us, and I think that
Absolutely.
Will come across to him.
Sure. Hey, now, you've directed. Have you also acted before, Paul? Where have the people seen your work?
I started out, my story is, I started out the late 80s. I'm actually an equity stage manager.
Sure.
And so I've been stage managing for years, and so I learned directing sitting in the stage manager chair, mm-hmm. sitting in the co-pilot seat, and I just always enjoyed it. And so the last 5 or 6 years, I've been directing for a lot of the community theaters around town. Just did a production of Our Town last spring with the Bell Road Barn, and so it's fun and it's exciting, and I like to do it, like I said, I try to bring that experience from
a lot of the long-standing members of the Bell Road Barn. That's one of the shows they do a lot, that and Quilters. They have a history. I guess that was the very first play.
Oh, well, you know, we left here. When we were coming in, Jan and Cinnamon were walking out, and I've known them for years. It's a pretty small community here in town, and mm-hmm. you know people, and we all see each other's shows, so... It's
very supportive. Yeah, it's a great community to work with.
Sure. What about Emily? What have people seen you in before?
I love to be ensemble. It is great fun to, because I love large casts. I've done Shrek and Beauty and the Beast with Summit Theater Group, and I have made some of the best friends I have ever made being in these large casts, because you experience so many people. So I love doing things with Summit Theater. I've also done some work with Blue Springs. I did Big, the musical, which was one of my just favorites. It was really a great... I love, you know, it's one of those... I love the movie, but when you get to do the play and become that person, it's just...
So
it's amazing.
You like the children's type shows?
I actually like them both, but I do theater with my family. And so for this last production of Beauty and the Beast, my youngest son was the stage manager, or prop manager, not the stage manager. He was the prop manager. And my older son was up in the booth helping with tech. And my husband helps with set. So we make it a family affair when we can.
Oh, very good. Very good. What about Colin say?
Colin Say is a Northlander, so I live actually up north in Excelsior Springs, so I've done several, many productions up there, as well as directing and playwriting as well. Most recently, I was in a production at the Corbin, Sordid Lives, there at the Corbin Theater down the historic Square of Liberty. I've also done things down at Bell Run Barn, out in Leavenworth. So I'm just kind of all over, yeah. But most of my experience in the Missouri area was in Excelsior Springs.
The Corbin is a very intimate setting.
Very intimate, very, very
much. Do you like
so.
Being that close to the audience?
It was my first experience being that intimate, being that close with an audience member. And I say that truly jokingly. At one point, one of my prop pieces went flying out, and I thought I was going to kill someone. But it was fascinating to be able to see the expressions and things right there, right next to you. I typically enjoy them just a little further back, but it is a great space just because of that intimate feeling and being able to connect with the audience that way.
So, sure. Yeah. Sure. Well, the show begins on Thursday the 9th. Performances continue then on Friday the 10th, so we're not that far away, just a few days. Saturday the 11th at 7:30, and then, well, they'll have essentially 6 days off. Then Friday the 17th, so it's Thursday at City Theater. This is the usual. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, first weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday afternoon matinee, the second weekend. Correct. Matinees are at 2 o'clock p.m. at the City Theater of Independence, the Sermon Center. The actual address is 201 North Dodgen, but, hey, it's essentially the intersection of Truman and Nolan Roads in Independence, where a lot of things happen in Independence. A lot of historical things have That's happened true. In Independence as well.
And I'd also like to just give a shout-out to our other three cast members who were not able to be here today, but Drew Jones plays Bobby, who I'm going to leave that right there because if I tell you too much about Bobby, then it truly is a spoiler, and we want people to come see
the
show.
We don't want spoilers.
But a very wonderful young lady who I've worked with several times, Jessica Arnold, plays Rachel, who's Connie's daughter, who 20-something daughter, who is just appalled by this whole thing. And
but wants to fix it for
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then Yoshi plays Butterbutt the cat.
Yeah, sometimes those animals steal the show. You ladies have to be aware.
She's got her own dressing room.
Yeah.
Children and animals tend to steal the show.
That's right.
They need a good director.
That's right, yes. He's worked a lot with Yoshi.
The show is called Exit Laughing by our guest from last week, Paul Elliott. And the performances begin again, as I said, on Thursday the 9th, Friday the 10th, Saturday the 11th, all at 7:30 p.m. And I assume the each show has its own dinner theater performance. That is probably on Saturday the 11th.
This week, yeah, that's this coming Saturday. For people that are interested, they have a dinner prior to the show. And if all goes according to plan, Mr. Elliott is planning to be there. He has quite the full weekend. So I was talking to the producer about that this morning. He's got quite a, so he'll be around if anybody wants to say hi and meet him. Or you can just buy a ticket to the show Saturday evening as well. So either way.
Then a second weekend of performances, Friday the 17th, Saturday the 18th, and Sunday afternoon a matinee on the 19th at the City Theater of Independence. And that's the website, citytheaterofindependence.org. But you can call their reservation phone number as well. You can make reservations online or on the phone, and that would be 816-325-7367. And, of course, City Theater, it's Truman and Nolan Roads, the Sermon Center, technically 201 North Dodgen. How many people in the show, probably even the members of City Theater, know the actual address of the building? But I got it. Thanks so much, all
of you. I
actually
wrote it down just
in case. That's right. Yeah. Thank all of you for being here. Mark Hamilton, who is the director. Emily Davenport, who plays the role of Connie. And Colin Say Shelby, who plays the role of Leona. Three of the four card players. And I guess five, if you want to count Mary the deceased, in the City Theater of Independence production of Exit Laughing, opening this Thursday, the 9th, at 7:30 p.m. Thanks so much for coming and being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Sam Wiseman, the Jazz Insider, is next. He's going to be playing some of the finest jazz for you anywhere, jazz from 1 to 3. Then we'll have the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening, folks. This is Baby J.
And Clayton DeLong.
We are all a mode.
This is Adam Goblin with Hot Club KC.
Hi, this is Bobby Watson.
Hey, it's Deborah Brown.
Oh, yeah, this is Eddie DeLong.
You're listening to
90.1 FM.
KKFI.
Kansas City Community Radio.
KKFI is where you hear diverse local voices. We need to hear from you at kkfi.org/donate.